Well, Father, as we can now talk about the power of a dream, I pray you help me. I pray, Lord, this room tonight will be full of people with big dreams. I pray tonight that new dreams will be given, new dreams will be birthed. Lord, for some people, they'll recapture their dream again in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated, everybody. I want to talk tonight about the power of a dream. And I thought about, you know, how important it is to have a dream. And probably the thing to me that I believe, how many have ever struggled knowing the will of God? Let me just see your hand if you've ever struggled knowing the will of God. You know, I remember one time we had a guest speaker who I love dearly come into our church, and he really confused people for quite a long time about knowing God's will. And I spent myself doing a lot of pastoral care follow-up trying to help people relax, because sometimes it's like the will of God's on a razor's edge. You can fall off the will of God. But I actually think you got a pretty stubborn, have made some pretty predetermined choices to live out of the will of God. I think it's easier to live in the will of God than it is to live out of the will of God. I think it's harder to live out of the will of God than it is to live in the will of God. And if you're worried about, are you in the will of God, can I tell you that's already a good sign that you've got a good heart toward the will of God? Because if you're not worried about it, either you know it for sure or you don't care. And so I want to talk to you tonight about the power of a dream. Dreams are so important. Can I tell you, God wants you and I to have a dream for our lives. This is actually Vision Month. I like calling it a month. I think, you know, it's just to talk about it in just any one moment of time. It's just too restrictive. So we want to take a month to talk to you about the importance of a dream. If you've not been in our Sunday morning services and you're only able to come Sunday night, let me tell you, we are going to put on Vimeo the two videos and the last two messages I preach on Sunday mornings, because it talks about vision on the first week, and then the second week it talks about how to cast a vision, how to cast a dream. I think it's brilliant teaching. Honestly, I do. I think it's true for your life. I think it's true for your marriage. I think it could be true in every aspect for your business. I want to tell you, you need to get a hold of that. You need to listen to it. And then I think it'll be great for you to put it into practice. And what I've taught, what I've sought to teach is really the example we give here at Wave Church. Would you agree? So this is something that is tangible that you can actually really put into practice if you listen to it and write it down and work it out. So here's what I think the most important thing you need to know about a dream. I believe a dream really reveals your purpose. Do you know, I got this friend back in Australia, and his dream is, and he still prays, as far as I know, God, and he loves pastoral care. He loves meeting with people. He loves talking to people. And he actually particularly loves building and strengthening marriages. He loves particularly finding people who went through a divorce and giving them again a sense of purpose and identity and a vision for their life, that their life is not broken, that they still have a future. And this guy who's a dear friend of mine, I used to hear him pray. I'd walk past his office and he would pray, God, bring me the hardest cases. God, bring me the toughest marriages. Lord, and I used to hear him pray and I go, are you crazy? He goes, oh, I want the toughest ones. And let me tell you, when it comes, and that is his dream. Can I tell you, I've never prayed that prayer. I am the worst counselor you're ever going to meet in your life. I pray, God, help me raise up leaders. I pray, God, help me preach the word. Help me motivate. Help me inspire. But counseling, you don't want me as your counselor. I'm just saying right now. I had a guy come in my office, ask me for advice, and he had one of those voices that was kind of monotone. And, you know, I'm sort of sitting in my, you know, lounge chair in my office. He's sitting in another lounge chair. And as he started talking, it was toward the end of the day. It was a big day. And I found myself getting the nods. Who's ever found yourself? And I'm just like nodding off, and I'm trying to stay interested in this poor guy. And finally, I don't know what happened, but I just fell asleep. And do you know that feeling when you wake up and all of a sudden you go, ah, how long was I asleep for? Who's ever done that? And I looked at the guy and I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how long I was asleep. Was I snoring? What happened? And he goes, so there it is, Pastor Steve. What do you think? I don't know what he told me. He could have told me he just killed his grandmother. I don't know. And I didn't know what to say to him. And I thought, I know what to say. I said, one thing's for certain. The Lord was here and he heard everything you shared. Because I'm thinking, I sure don't remember a thing. I was asleep. And I prayed with the poor guy, true story. And he still tells me the most life-changing appointment he's ever had was in that moment in time. And then finally, I publicly talked about it. And he said, "You're talking about me. That was me." I said, "Yeah, it was." He goes, "I thought you were praying. You don't want me as your counselor." Thank God for the counselors we got here at Wave Church. That does not mean I don't care about people, but here's the thought. Your dream reveals your purpose. And the Bible says here that it says here, "For this reason was the for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." For some people, their dream is to get involved with computers and in the internet and use it for evangelism, social media. And their dream is, "God, let me influence and as reach as many people. Let me get on the," and they love the internet. Me, I hate the internet. It's a necessary evil. That's all I'm saying. Some people, their dream is, you know, maybe to, you know, I remember this one person who was her dream, as far as I know, it still is her dream, to find the cure to AIDS. She worked in the infectious disease, offices back in Australia. And let me tell you, that's her dream. Can I tell you, your dream reveals your purpose. And the Bible says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest." Your dream helps you realize why God put you on planet Earth. For some people, their dream is to be in the military, and it reveals why God made you, why God put you on planet Earth. Everybody needs a dream. As a little child, we were dreamers. We were thinking, "I want to grow up and be an astronaut. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman." Nowadays, not so much the policeman, but we love our police, don't we? Amen. They've been given a bad rap. I'm just saying, they're good people. I walked into 7-Eleven last night. I went into there, and there was a policeman, and I recognized him. He's one of the police here, and he said, "Hey, Steve, can you do me a favor?" I'm going, this is awesome. I can do a policeman a favor. I said, "What do you want?" He goes, "I've got all these tickets that the police association want to give away to people to go and see American Sniper." I said, "Man, can I ever?" He goes out to the squad car, and he comes back in with all these papers, and he gives them to me, and people in the 7-Eleven store are looking. What is going on in 7-Eleven? Is this guy getting like 15, 20 tickets? And I said, "Thank you." I said, "Good night." Walked out, and people are just staring, going, "What just happened?" Praise God. I love our police. Come on, give it up for our police. Not only does a dream reveal your purpose, but can I tell you why God put you on planet Earth? But secondly, your dream, listen, reveals your enemy. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus was filled with the Spirit and baptized down at River Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended on him. It says in Matthew chapter 3, all that happened. In Matthew chapter 4, then and only then, the Bible says that then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In other words, the Holy Spirit was waiting for this moment when Jesus' dream would be activated. And when Jesus realized what his purpose was, then the Holy Spirit led him, listen to this, into the desert. The Holy Spirit didn't lead him into a land that flows with milk and honey. The Holy Spirit didn't lead him into the promised land. The Holy Spirit led him into the desert. And sometimes you're going to meet your enemy when you realize what your dream is. Matter of fact, the truth be told, if it's a God dream and a God purpose and something that God's birthed in your heart, without a doubt, when you realize what your purpose is and you wake up to what the dream that God's put in your life, let me tell you, it is guaranteed right then will you meet your enemy, because now you are a threat to the devil. But thank God, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Come on, somebody say amen. And I tell you, there are some dream killers. Let me tell you three of them out of the life of Joseph. Joseph had a dream. He proved that he wasn't yet leadership material. His dream was he'd be a leader. But he goes around and tells everybody his dream. And then three things tried to steal his dream. Number one was people. His own father rebuked him. His brothers sold him off in slavery, planned to kill him. But the youngest brother had a conscience. How many know it's always the youngest one that has the conscience in the family? And he had a conscience. Come on, let's sell him off as a slave. Let's do something. And then they sold him off as a slave. People is a can be a dream killer. Come on. Sometimes it can be the people closest to you that don't see your dream. You know, they can be dream killers. They can, who do you think you are? Pull your head in. You hear it all the time. Man, we never thought he would do that. We never thought she would do that. Can I tell you, don't let people steal your dream. Here's the second dream killer. And let me tell you, without a doubt, it's true, is life. Life can be a dream killer. When you're young, you're full of passion and mission and purpose, but you'd be around long enough and life happens and stuff happens and life can actually knock the dream right out of you. Joseph, as he was off in slavery, you know, the Bible says that God promoted him, that through his excellence and through his leadership and for the power of his dream, he became a part of his house. You would think then he was put in charge of everything. Life is good. But then he gets accused of trying to sleep with Potiphar's wife, and she screams, you know, attempted rape, when the truth is she was hitting on him. This is before Desperate Housewives. This is before Sex and the City. This is before, what's that new movie that I have no intention to get? 50 Shades of Grey. Dear God. Fifty Shades of Sick. My iPad keeps turning off on me. What is going on? Praise the Lord. You know, oh, stop that. Praise the Lord. I actually need my notes now. And my iPad is having a little. See, here, I'm revealing my purpose. And the enemy now is waking up to what is going on. Praise the Lord. Here, life will try and steal your dream. Let me tell you, it will. Because then Joseph goes from there. It's okay so far. If it happens again, I'll get them. And then he goes and puts in jail. And he gets forgotten about in jail. So people will try and steal your dream. Sometimes the people closest to you won't see your dream. Are you a bit? By the way, if you don't believe that, think of the life of Jesus. And Jesus' half-brother James didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God until after Jesus resurrected. Sometimes people are slow to catch on, but they do eventually catch on. I remember when I got saved and people started prophesying over me, and I seemed to be the guy that every guest speaker would just find me in a crowd and start declaring the things that God would do in my life. I came forward on an altar call and this guy prophesied over me what God would do in and through my life. And I remember people came up to me after the service and they said, man, I just want this one lady, Mark, you remember Mrs. Murray, Pat Murray, the intercessor of intercessors. She came up to me, she goes, Steve, God told me when that man was prophesying over you that I'm to spend the rest of my life every day in intercessory prayer for you, to pray that God watches you, to pray that God protects you, to pray that God uses you, to pray that God opens your eyes to the bigness of the call. And I'm thinking, this is not just nice faithful. This is the head intercessor, the woman who hears from God. And every time she's so amazingly accurate. And I'm going, wow. And then someone else came up to me and says, Steve, when that guy was prophesying over you, God spoke to me. And if ever you need money to do anything that God's called you to do, all you need to do is ring me and I'll send the funds. I believe in the call of God in your life. Now that I think about it, I've never called that person. And I tell you, it was a sad day for me the day that Mrs. Murray went to be with Jesus. But then I realized she's probably still in heaven talking to Jesus about me anyway. But now it's face to face. And then I'll never forget, I'm just in this sense of awe of the awareness of the call of God. It's when I felt God called me to preach and I answered that call to ministry of pastoring and all this is happening. And then my mother walked up to me. And she says, you got to know, how many know your mum knows your best? My mother still helped pay for the police fines. My mother's still trying to help me try and get my financial order in life. And she looked at me and she goes, don't believe a word of it. It's not for you. You'll just get a big head. And I laughed. I said, I'm with you, mum. And I got to tell you, my mother, while she was alive, by the grace of God, she knew me better than anybody. She'd seen all the promises I made that I never came through on. She saw me in my reckless moments and the times when I would be missing for a week on end and, just looking like a mess and, being irresponsible. And let me tell you, my mother became so proud of me, it got embarrassing. I used to go, Mom, stop it. And she would write to all the family, send all our cousins and all of our relatives. My preaching back in those days, they were videos and cassettes. And she would send them to everybody bragging on me. But let me, at that moment in time, even my own mother couldn't see the dream that God had for your life. Can I tell you, don't let people steal your dream. Don't let life steal your dream. And finally, a dream killer is time. Time will try and steal your dream. Joseph was in prison for at least 12 years. In terms of looking at his life from the moment God gave him the dream, how many know when God gives you a dream, it usually means it's going to be a long way off. In other words, you're not going to need a second hand in your watch. Now, Joseph didn't realize that everything that was happening to him in his life was taking him toward his dream. It didn't look that way in the natural. Frankly, it looked the opposite. It looked like his life was going further and further away from his dream. Can I just encourage somebody here tonight? Don't be looking at just what you are today, but realize you are actually, God is planning you and training you, and don't let people and don't let life, come on, if you're going to give God a hand, give him a good one. And don't let time steal. Oh, that's a younger man's dream. That's a younger man's day. You know, there's no room for me here at Wave Church. I'm old. How do I fit in? No, my friend. Age is an attitude. There's no room for me. There's room for everybody here at Wave Church. We need every age and every generation to inspire all people. All that stuff, that's all good for the young people. You know, I've been around. That's the problem. You've been around. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's not talking to us, this is for somebody else. And so I want to talk to you, how do you have a powerful dream? How do you have a powerful dream? Some of you here tonight, let's be honest, I'm not going to ask you to show your hands, but some of you tonight have no idea what God's plan for your life is. You have absolutely no idea. And the reason why I know is I ask so many people, what's your dream? What's your vision? And this is what most people say, I just want to serve the Lord. Get past that. That is shallow, immature, and naive. Everybody wants to serve the Lord. We already know that. What's your dream? What does that look like? What legs does that look like? What face do you put on that? What is your uniqueness of where it is that is your strength? And can I tell you something? Here's the first thing. If you don't even know even what that is, can I tell you, here's the first thing you do. You got to serve another man's dream. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? I actually believe that one of the testing of getting you ready for your dream is by faithfully serving another man's. Come on, someone say amen. What does that look like? That means that if you're going to college and maybe someone's paying for your college, well, somebody's got a dream for you and they're paying for your college. And you be faithful in what they're doing by actually doing well in college. And you're there frustrated. What am I doing here? Where will I ever use this for my job? I hear it all the time. Young people, how is this useful to me in terms of my future? Can I tell you, be faithful in it. Be faithful to your lecturer. Be faithful to your college. Be faithful to the call of God. Be faithful to the church. Be faithful to the place that God's put you in. Be faithful. Well, what about me? What about me? No. It's not about you. It's about you learning that the key to your dream being activated and realizing what your dream is being faithful in yet another man's. And when you're faithful in another man's, and as you've shown yourself loyal, God will open the door that no man can shut, and God will shut a door that no man can open. Come on, somebody say amen. You got a dream to get to be a singer in the life of the church, and you want to be that? Well, then you just start serving and create. And then they ask you to be in the choir, but you go, I don't want to be in the choir. I want front row microphone. No. You got to be faithful in another man's, and God will open the door for you. Amen. Sometimes you got to knock the star out of some people. Amen. Be faithful in another man's dream, and then go in your job at work, and you're thinking, this is not where I want to be. I want to own my own business. Well, you got to first learn how to be a good employee before you'll ever be a good employer. You got to learn to turn up to work and give a good day's work and work as hard as you can and try to make that man, that woman successful as you can, because God put you there with the spirit of Joseph. He put you there with the spirit of Jacob. He put you there to bring blessing into that other man's, and when God's ready, he'll raise you up. But one of the ways you'll actually begin to realize your dream is just being faithful in somebody else's dream. They were looking for a prophet. Jehoshaphat was going to go to battle. And he said, before we go to battle, we need the word of the Lord. Is God with us? And they found this man called Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elisha. And they said, okay, he's got the word of the Lord with him. And they said, well, how do you know? They said, he used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. That's the only thing in his resume. That's his only, if you like, you know, skill, life experience. And it says, he served Elijah, and he poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, said, that's all I need to hear. He was faithful in another man, and the man he was faithful to was a man who had the word of the Lord. And if he poured hands on the water of Elijah, then I want to hear what that man has to say. Can I tell you, what opens the door to your dream is by being faithful in another man and another woman where God's placed you. And maybe that ultimately won't be where you finish up, but you've got to be faithful where you are before God can promote you in the name of Jesus. Come on, give a lot of hands. If you're getting frustrated and attitudinal, that's all God testing you, because the day will come when people will work with you and they will feel how you do, and you've got to look at them and say, I've been where you're at. I've gone through that test. I passed it. And I want to tell you, you've just got to learn how to be faithful, how to be loyal. I want to be a Connect Group leader. Awesome. Could you start by going to a Connect Group? I want to be a leader in God's house. Awesome. Could you be faithful in your attendance? Can you get to the house of God on time? Are you a good example that we would want to uphold you as a great leader that other people's life could follow your life? I want to work on staff at Wave Church. Hey, this will shock some of you, but there's been many times that we've looked to maybe consider employing somebody. And you've got to know, I care about people giving good leadership example in every area of their life. And I think of at least several instances where we've gone to consider employing this person. How many know if you're not faithful in a little, God will never make you faithful over much? And they don't know it, and they never will know it. But when we've considered somebody, before we talk to them, before we talk to anybody else on team, what we will do is look at their giving record. And if they're not giving, and if they're not giving what we think would be at least a fair representation of what a tithe is, can I tell you, they'll never have a job in this church. Because here's the thought, you who are faithful at your giving are going to pay someone to do a job that they themselves don't tithe in? How many would agree with that? Okay, and the rest of you, you've got to grow up and learn something about life. And I got to tell you something, you know, if you're faithful in another man's, that's the first key. Is this helping anybody? Here's the second key. Listen to this. Not only do you have to be, how do you have a powerful dream instead of another man's dream, but number two, do what's in front of you. Just do. Some of us are getting so fixated on what we believe should be out there that we're failing to realize where we are today. And look what the Bible says about this. Oh, I love this scripture. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Now, in the world, it's the other way around. You want to get a job, you look at the prerequisites, what the requirements are, what the skill, what the educational requirements are, and they give you all the thoughts of what the job is. Do you have the skill to work on this kind of software program? Do you have the skill in this kind of area of sales or marketing, whatever it is? And they give you all the thoughts, and then if you qualify based on the thoughts, then you can work. But that's not how it works in the world. That's how it works in the world, and it's how it should work in the world. But that's not how it works in the kingdom. How it works in the kingdom is Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord, and then your thoughts will be established. In other words, in the kingdom, just do what's in front of you, and as you do it, God will establish your thinking. Some people are waiting to find out what the dream is, so you don't do anything in the house of God because you're still waiting to find out what God's dream and God's plan for your life is. Get involved somewhere. Come on. Delight yourself on the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean God will give you whatever you want, but when you delight yourself in Him, your desires are God-given. If your dream and your desire is to have a business and to be somebody who resources the kingdom, that's a God-given desire. If your desire is to make it in sport or any area of life and be successful, can I tell you, they're God-given desires as long as you delight yourself in Him. So here's what you do. How do you know what your dream is? Well, maybe you don't know what it is, but here's what you do. Just do something that's in front of you. Be faithful in other men's. You know, and don't be, I mean, people are saying, I'm afraid that if I just say to the Lord, use me, send me anywhere, that God's going to send me somewhere I don't want to go. No, no, no. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. See, here's what you do. So long as you've got a passion for some area, so long as you've got, for children, maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know that God's called me to work with children, but there's a need there. and I'm going to be faithful in another man, so I'll just get involved in children. Maybe it's in parking. Maybe it's in ushering. Maybe it's in hospitality. Maybe it's with Wave City Care. Something that lights your fire. Can I tell you, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. When I was first made a youth leader, all these people said, what's your vision for the youth group? I didn't even know what they were asking. I said, my vision's 2020. It used to be. You had to go to a doctor and have your eyes checked for to go to box. And I used to be a boxer, and they'd make sure that I could see okay. There was no blurred vision. And so I was saying, oh, I just had my eyesight checked, 20/20, thank you. And they said, what's your vision? I said, that's my vision. They said, no, what's your vision for the young people? Because out of vision, people perish. I said, I don't want people to perish. God, give me a vision. And the Lord gave me this scripture. Commit your works to the Lord, and I'll establish your thinking. I didn't have established thinking when I began to run our youth group. And here's my goal after I realized. I said, here it is. Number one, here's what I want. After a Saturday night, all the young people enjoyed it. That's a big vision. That was the depth of my vision. Number two, that I will have enjoyed it. Number three, that I will feel like we can do it again next week. I swear to you, that was the extent of the bigness of my vision. I was just living from one week to the next, but I kept committing my works to the Lord. We kept doing it. We kept turning up. We kept showing up. We kept gathering these young people. And over weeks and over months, as I committed to what I did to the Lord, I began to get established thinking. I began to think we could work in high schools. I began to think we can do certain outreaches. And let me tell you, it wasn't until I started doing something that I got established thinking. That's why it annoys me when people come into church who've never set foot in this church, and they want to try and tell me, the pastor, how to run this church. Well, if you're not doing anything, I ain't listening to you. You don't have established thinking. You're a couch potato. It's no established thoughts. What do you do? What are you doing for God? Come on, are you doing something? Where's your track record of consistency? Amen. I love it when people love to introduce themselves with their titles. Man, that to me is hilarious. If you're introducing yourself with your title, you might want to just have a bit of another think about your life. You know, my name is Reverend Bishop Doctor. You know, people get all hung up on titles. People get all hung up on, you know, all those things. But that's not what makes you significant. What makes you significant is doing what the Lord's called you to do. And as you're faithful in it, God will establish your thinking. You'll have bigger plans. As you're faithful in the job that God's given you, as you're faithful in the college that you're going to today, God will establish your thinking. And let me tell you, I remember one young guy who wanted to be in Hillsong College, and he came up to me, and he's halfway through an accounting degree. And he goes, I want to leave accounting, and I want to come over to Hillsong College. And I said, I will not accept your college if you apply. If you pay all your fees up front, I will not accept you, because I don't want a quitter coming into our college halfway through your accounting degree. Get your accounting degree, finish that, then come talk to me. My attitude is, if I can talk you out of the call of God, you're not really called. And he goes, but I want to come. I said, I won't let you come. Sorry. I saw the potential in this young man that God would use that. He didn't see that God would use his accounting degree to actually help him in the future for all that ministry is. I wish somebody taught me those things. I had to learn all these things the hard way. And I mean the hard way. I mean the hard way. Through mistakes and bad experiences. And then finally humbling myself and asking people to help me and give me training as I kept doing what God was calling me to do. And then his parents were so happy. They said, they wound up, to my understanding, they weren't even Christians up until that point in time, but they were so worried about their son who just wanted to walk out on college, and he's halfway through his accounting degree, and they were so happy, they actually eventually, from what I understand, came into the house of God. And today he pastors Hillsong Paris, but what got him over to Europe was being the business manager of Hillsong London, because he had an accounting degree. And he has 2,000 people on a Sunday morning in church in Paris. And little did he see way back here that if he just committed his works to the Lord, his thinking will get established. Stop trying to get out of where God's got you. Some of you aren't liking this message at all. It's like, man. Okay, number three, listen to this. Don't be afraid of taking baby steps. How do we actually have a big dream? Don't be afraid of taking baby steps. One of the greatest scriptures I've built my life on is do not despise these small beginnings. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. This is all about rebuilding the temple, by the way. And yes, there was a lot to be done to rebuild the temple and to rebuild Jerusalem. And there was a lot of work needed, a lot of workers, a lot of money, and there wasn't the resource, there wasn't the people. There weren't the skilled carpenters. There wasn't any of those things. And the word of the Lord is that, you know, the Israel will be rebuilt and Jerusalem will be reestablished. And oh, there was a lot of excitement about all that, but it was just beyond them. And the Lord says here through this prophet, listen, the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. In other words, just get doing something. Just begin. Listen to this. The Lord rejoices. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Yes, it's a big dream. Yes, it's a big God. Yes, it's a big plan. Yes, it looks impossible, but they're the kind of God dreams. Don't have a dream so small you don't need God. They're the kind of things, frankly, if it's not big enough, if you could achieve it in your lifetime, it's probably not a God dream anyway. But the bottom line is, the Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. People look what, you know, what God did in terms of my life, and they go, man, how did you go from Hillsong Church to Virginia Beach? And let me tell you something, don't despise the day of small beginnings. If you knew Hillsong Church, it's in a suburb called Castle Hill. It's not the nice, most attractive suburb. It's in the suburbs of Sydney. And let me tell you, everybody knows it today because what God did in the church, but didn't despise the day of small beginnings, meeting in a high school gymnasium. And that's all it was just a handful of people. But the Lord rejoiced to see the work begin. And let me tell you, if you're faithful in the little, God will make you faithful over much. Can I just encourage somebody here tonight? Just be good and have a dream. I love this scripture. Man, I've built my scripture. These verses I'm sharing, this is my life. This is the things that God's helped me about a dream. Deuteronomy chapter 7. By the way, you notice I'm doing all this without my glasses. Praise the Lord. I'm quite proud of myself tonight. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. Watch this. Little by, that was your chance to jump in. Little by, come on, little by, you will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the fields become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. Praise the Lord. Here's what God says. If I gave you everything of your dream all at once, it'd be overwhelming. You wouldn't be able to handle it. You wouldn't be able to keep up with it. But I'll give it to you little by little. As you learn how to overcome this nation, as you learn how to overcome these people, as you learn how to lead and rule and govern, and then as you take dominion over that, then I'll give you the next. Sometimes God doesn't show us everything because it's so big we'd be overwhelmed. But God says, come on, it'll be too, but as you grow and get strong, I'll give you more. Come on, somebody needs to hear it tonight. Listen to me carefully. Can I just encourage you? Don't be afraid to take the baby steps. Don't be afraid to just give people, I just want it all big. I want instant Christian. I want everything now. No, no, no. That's not how it works. Don't be afraid to take the baby steps. Do you know when you move into another church, you've got to take baby steps all over again. Doesn't matter what your resume is. Well, I've arrived. Here's my resume. Fantastic. But can you serve the dream of this house? Do you fit the DNA of this house? Will you wear the restraints of the vision of this house? Or are you going to compare this church to the last church you came from and try and turn this church into the last church you came from? And if that's what you're going to do, just go back to the other church. Come on. Pastor, I want to share with you my vision. Wonderful. Do you want to hear about the vision we have? Come on. I just want to tell you what God's called me to do. Wonderful. I can't tell you how many times people have come into this church and said to me, I used to be a pastor, and now I'm here, and God's called me to be here. Fantastic. We'll see if you're still here in 6 months. I used to be. I always, when I hear that, I think you has been a pastor. And I'm welcoming pastors to come here. But if you're just coming here thinking just because you used to be a pastor in that church does not mean you're a pastor in this church. Because we'll take the time to check you out, make sure your heart's right. You're here to help serve people, not just try and build a ministry for yourself. Come on, somebody say amen. My time is up. Number four, here's the last thought. Beware of dead weights. Beware of dead weights. Therefore, also, since we are surrounded, singers, musicians, come on back. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, man, I love to preach about the cloud of witnesses. If anything makes me smile when I read my Bible, it's this, because I can see who's in the cloud. Praise, there's the eye cloud, then there's the heaven cloud. And it says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Listen to me. He's talking to Christians. And the sin that so easily ensnares us. The sin that so... It says, let us lay aside. Let us cast aside. Listen to this. Every weight. And let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us. You got to lay aside dead weights. Unhealthy relationships are dead weights. Relationships that are taking you back to your past. Relationships where they talk about how much they don't like church and how much they don't like Christian leaders. Lay aside the dead weight. Come on, let us lay aside unhealthy relationships. Listen to this, and I want to say this now without exception, without apology, and I make no apology for it. You cannot be a friend to someone who is an enemy to your dream or your relationships. Hear me, I said you cannot be a friend to someone who is an enemy to your dream or your relationships. I'll say it again because some of you need to hear it. You say, listen, you cannot be a friend to someone who is an enemy of your dream and your relationships. Listen to what Jesus said. No one can serve two masters. You will hate the one or love the other. You will despise, you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Listen to this, James chapter 1 verse 8. From the voice virgin. Listen to this. Listen to this. The splinter of divided loyalty shatters your compass and leaves you dizzy and confused. Look at it. The splinter of divided loyalty. Well, I'm just trying to be everybody's friend. You can be everybody's friend and you're not being no one's friend. You can't serve two masters. And here it says here, the splinter of divided loyalties shatters your compass. You don't know which way's right. You have no true north. You're trying to be everybody's friend. It's gotten very quiet. And it leaves you dizzy and confused. I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to... Listen, can I tell you something? We've got to be people who understand how to have a big dream. Can you say amen? You know, small thinking, bad habits... You know, what flows out of you naturally? There's a good sign to your dream. Just what flows out of you naturally? Just what are you good at? Amen. If you can't sing a lick, there's a clue that God's not called you to be a singer. Amen. Come on. If you can't play guitar and you want to be a musician, and you've had all the lessons in the world, and you still can't play a tune, it's just, what are you good at? That's an indication. Some people, you're good with your hands. Some people are good with your mind. Some people are just good with your heart. It's just what you're good at. God's wired us all differently. Amen? I'm not good at anything to do with carpentry. I never have been, never will be. I've tried. I feel like I failed my sons. They want to have a dad. Let's build a boat together. And I said, I can pay someone to build you a boat, but I can't build the boat. And if we build it, I ain't going out in the river with that thing. Because we will sink. I'm not good at it. But I know people look at a piece of wood and picture all sorts of things out of that piece of wood. I look at the piece of the wood and go, it's a piece of wood. Amen. True story. There was a guy who had a dream to be a singer in this church, but he couldn't sing a lick. So finally, they had to put him out of the choir because he used to sing so loud and he was tone deaf. They put him in the sound desk. Not that all the people at the sound desk are tone deaf. But literally, he was so frustrated because nobody recognized he's singing here. True story. He literally grabbed a microphone one Sunday and plugged it directly into the sound desk and was singing and turned his microphone louder than everybody else. And everyone's going, what is that awful noise? And it turned out it was him plugging his... Hey, there's a clue right there. Come on. Amen. If you have to open your own doors... What flows out of you naturally? What are you good at? Do others who know you well confirm your dream? Amen? What can you give yourself to? What flows out of you naturally? Does it line up with biblical guidelines? Is it a kingdom purpose? And does that dream, the end in mind, ultimately bless others. There's a good, I mean, right there, that's good teaching. Just right there, that'll help every person in this room to understand how a dream comes to pass and how to have a powerful dream. Do you receive the word? Come on, give our Lord a hand.